welcome to a rousing episode of Was That In Good Taste? I'm one of your hosts, and my name is going to be Chandler Phillips. And with me, as always, is another one of your hosts, and his name's going to be...
I'm James Beery, the luckiest man in the world.
And thank you so much for joining us on this amazing episode of Was That In Good Taste? We got a fun episode theme coming up. But before we do all that, you go like, comment, subscribe. Make sure that you caught up on all the other amazing episodes that we have done that have all proceeded up until this moment.
Last week's episode was really good.
It was fantastic. We talked about bees.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it.
I was buzzing with anticipation for that to drop.
Do you know that the American Dad episode that we filmed, that for a quick update, the camera was severely out of focus. So what I did was, is I put some...
I was out of focus too.
I know, right? I put some effects over it,
ooh,
right? And I called it American't Dad. It's the most viewed episode on YouTube.
That's
just how it works. When we do well and we try, I guess people don't like it.
We're just going to keep it loosey-goosey then.
Going to keep it low effort. No, I'm kidding.
So all right, let's get right into it then. James, do you pay taxes?
Yes. Yes, I do pay taxes, unfortunately.
Good for you. I just finished up doing my taxes this past week on account of it being the end of tax season. And it really got me thinking, you know, we pay taxes. I got some money back from these taxes. And it made me think, where does the money go? What's all this money coming from? What's all this going and coming and going? And it really got me thinking, you know, what's a tax that I haven't paid a while?
What tax is that?
The lottery tax. You know, the...
oh, God.
The win your way out tax.
Oh, God.
And it just got me thinking, lotteries are kind of weird, right? The fact that we've managed to use this kind of like weird pseudo gambling as a means or an alternative to enforced taxes, something that's beyond the IRS. And it's just kind of got me thinking, you know, lotteries, what's up with that? So this whole episode is going to be lotteries. What's up with that? And to play, I thought it would be fun if we played our own little lottery game.
Oh, no.
And here we have the Buzz Ball Lottery.
The Balls Ball Bazanga.
The Bazanga.
The Bazanga.
And so the way we played, you wrote down a number on this.
I did.
And I wrote down.
By the way, I wrote a serious lottery number here. I would play these. I would play these numbers.
So I got a number written down here, and we're gonna take turns drawing lottery numbers from
the bucket of
lottery balls right here.
Oh God!
And we'll see who wins at the end of this.
What I feel like the answer is gonna be no one,
because it's a lottery, and that's how lotteries work. So, but who knows, James? You know, you can't win if you don't play.
You can't win if you don't play. Just like you can't enjoy us if you don't follow. If you don't like, comment, and subscribe. I'm scared.
All right, so.
I'm scared.
For Buzzball, if for those unaware or just uninformed or just had your head in a rock for the past 16 years. Actually, I don't know how old Buzzballs are. Buzzballs are little cocktails.
A women-owned
business. But they're pre-made cocktails in pre-packaged little things. And you'll see them here in a minute. So we're each going to draw one. All right? And these will be the starting numbers for our Buzzball lottery that we'll have throughout the... And when you finish yours, we're going to draw another one. Okay?
Oh, my God.
And so that's how we're going to work this.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's scary. So you made us write down these lottery numbers. And
6 numbers.
I'm scared.
All right, you're it. Do you have any lucky numbers, James? Like, what do you have? Is there a number that you're like, that's my number? Like one that
I don't want to say it because it's probably my PIN number. I have a favorite number, but I'm not going to tell you.
Well, it's just like
no, it's a series of numbers combined that make a number.
Oh, how gauche! How trite.
Now right. Somebody's going to be like, I'm going to go to your thing, and I'm going to be like...
We're going
to
look up all your PIN numbers. Okay, that's enough mixing that around.
My eyes are closed.
Pull out a...
My eyes are closed.
Just one Buzzball.
I'm vegan. There's one of these in here that I can't have. So I'm just, if I grab it,
we're gonna call that the Powerball. Okay. It's okay. You're good. Oh, what number is it? Number. Sorry. I stomped on it. Go ahead.
Number. No. Since I pulled it, I get number 69. That's what I got written in Sharpie here. I don't know if you can see that.
It was,
and the flavor.
What's the flavor?
Chili mango.
Ooh.
Premium tequila and vodka with natural flavors and certified color.
That sounds pretty damn
I'm kind of wondering what color that certified color is.
It sounds like you already won this lottery.
Yeah. In wrestling, certified color would be all over your face. But this, I think the certified color is Peruvian.
Oh,
well, that's it's a Peruvian nationality, certified. Not a color. But I.
Well, is it like a domain? Kind of like it's a color that only comes from Peru?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it says woman owned on the... Sorry. It just says woman owned on the side.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
They love to advertise it. And this is a little 200 milliliters, so that's about half a pint. That's a good cocktail size.
15%.
All right.
That's easy.
Can you hold this for me while I draw one?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, drawing your next number, Chandler Phillips. All right, Chandler.
Y'all are too much.
So we have here the numbers. So grab your number.
Yo, number is 420.
How would that even happen?
I don't know.
That you literally drew the only one that has dairy in it.
The odds. Am I right? The odds of drawing that one and to get 420 and 69 back to back. What are the odds?
The odds. May the odds be forever in your favor. It says shake well.
Oh, because I better shake it up. Better shake it. And okay, full disclosure, I did peek a little bit because I'm like, let me get at least let me just get the dairy one out
fucking
of the way
cheater.
First. But I mean, aren't
I'm doing ASMR opening. This is welcome to the return of was that in good taste? It's been a while. We haven't done this since the Passover episode. And so I had to turn it down. Sorry about that. So we're gonna open this. It got all over my face.
It's a little on your glasses.
Oh man.
So this one that I drew, it's a chalk tease. It is a chocolate milk with premium vodka, orange wine, and cream with natural flavors.
Very sensual. I feel very sensual. Ooh. Oh, we had the same reaction. Whoa.
Okay, now that's pretty damn delicious.
Woo!
Of all of the cream-based cocktails that I've had in my days, this one's also a 50%. Or not 50, 15% ABV Buzzball. That's pretty solid for a canned cocktail, given that like your average beer wine usually top out at about 13%.
Which is why I'm sure at the moment we'll be fine.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about socioeconomic issues around lottery while we drink.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about how fucked up the lottery is while we get our own lottery to get us fucked up. Ain't that just fun? But before we start disparaging how bad the lottery is, let's talk about some of the good parts.
Okay.
So one of the good things about lotteries is a lot of states, and even on a national level.
Why is it spicy?
Because it's chili mango.
Can I just say, I'm sorry, I know we're getting into
it. Did you read the ingredients?
I know we're getting into it, but I have to take a second to talk about this Buzzball. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I'm so sorry. I just think we need to focus on this real quick.
We'll loop back around.
Chili mango, if you're going to buy a Buzzball, amazing. This actually would be amazing over ice. I think it's a little spicy. Not too much for me, but I can see somebody thinking like, ooh, this has a little, the mango flavor is very pronounced. Give this a little bit of this back.
Oh, wow.
Sweet, a little spicy.
Just a little bite.
And just enough booze.
It's
a little sweet. So over ice.
You know, these are the type of drink that is perfect for if you're on a long car ride. I'm kidding. Don't. That's a joke.
You're sitting in the driver's seat. You're just like, Sarah, can you give me one of those? You just crack one open, just like throw one back.
No, do not drink and drive. Don't have open.
You don't want me to drive unless I've had a few, okay? Is this what you want?
You want me to swerve?
Is this what you want, Sarah? Is this what you want? Oh, don't argue in front of the kids.
These are cute, though. Okay, you know what this is? This is something that you can bring in a small, discreet cooler to the beach or the park.
Can't bring it to the beach, though.
What do you mean you can't bring it to the beach?
The shape is too distinct.
No, but it's the perfect, like, you never thrown a knuckleball or like a sinker where you just kind of have it. Like
you can sit with your hand by your side.
Yeah.
Just like
kind of.
Just like hold it. The officer comes by, you're just like, hey, officer.
You're just, howdy. Hope you catch all them delinquents.
Yeah, they only, whoa. There's a black person around here? Well, I'm not one of those. I hope you catch them. Hope they don't do any crime. You know, I worked really hard to get where I am, and I just can't stand when people get lucky.
This is fun. This is a good little, I did not expect to enjoy this.
I'll be honest.
As much as I do.
I agree. I'm so sorry.
I thought they were going to be boozier. And more syrupy and harder to get down, but this is a...
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I think we might have bitten off. We can chew it.
We can chew. Boy, can we chew.
So I'm so sorry. We were getting into...
So I figured...
The good things about the lottery.
Before we start just really going in on the lottery, there are a couple good things about the lottery in that they provide revenue to state governments and they allow individual states to determine how they want to spend the money raised from the lottery. So that way they don't like, it's not like they're getting funding that's contingent on like certain federal programs that are saying like, oh, you have to spend this money on this. States get to kind of decide for themselves. Like, oh, if we want to put it towards infrastructure, if we want to put it towards social services.
It's weird they have to do that. I'm sorry.
We
want to
put it towards... We'll get there. We'll get there. Well, this is the positives.
It is. Okay? It is the positives.
This is the pros. You know, this is lottery as fundraising. Okay?
Okay.
The lottery helps fundraise for state and local... social programs, and a lot of the money raised ends up being put back into education, and
that's big. Actually,
that's big.
That's like the biggest one is that most of lottery money, just like with cigarette tax in New York, I don't know about other states, it's very significant. So that they take the tax and it goes to education and it goes to anti-tobacco education. The same thing when it comes to lottery in New York. I think it's something like 70% of it, I might have the number wrong, goes towards education initiatives, programs, and things like that, which actually, you know, if you're going to be getting money, that's probably one of the best ways that you can spend free money.
And it is essential. Like, it's not pulling from the tax revenue that's already been allocated by state budgets or what have you. And... some proponents pose this argument that the lottery, no one's forcing you to pay money to buy a lottery ticket. It's entirely on a voluntary basis. You know, it's not theft of wages because no one is explicitly taking it from you without your consent, like taxes. Am I right? Let's go throw tea in a harbor.
You know what? So I'll say this. It is good. I have played the lottery before. I don't know if you're going to get there, but I have played the lottery before. And the reason I played the lottery is because there are good things that come from playing the lottery.
And who knows? Maybe you do win.
And if you have a dollar to spend.
And you completely change your... If you got a
If you have the privilege to take $1 to pay a lucky sevens, I'm not... that's the one I like. I like Lucky Sevens. I don't do it frequently. It's been, honestly, it's been like a few years. But I like a Lucky Sevens. You get a Lucky Sevens, you buy it, you win $5. Or if you don't, you know that the money is going towards something important in your neighborhood. You know it's going towards education.
In that sense, it's almost like a charity raffle where you kind of, you pay in a little bit, and who knows, maybe you even get a little something back. But
love charity.
Gotta love a charity. And you know, record Powerball winnings by a single ticket. You want to guess which state has the record for the highest winning of a lottery?
Now, I live in New York, so I would love to say New York.
You would love to say that.
But isn't it New Jersey?
Oh, you'd still be wrong.
But I feel like...
You Northeast centric.
Isn't it? I don't know all the lotteries. I only know the ones over here, so I don't know.
So the record Powerball win by a single ticket was in California on November 7th, 2022.
What lottery was it?
It was Powerball, which Powerball is played...
Was it an individual Powerball win?
Mm-hmm. I looked up, like,
is this like the single? Because Powerball usually gets split. Is this like a?
This is the singular. This is just trivia fun facts of.
Oh, I love this.
The most winningest lottery ticket was in November 7th of 2022, and the payout was $2.04 billion.
I remember that. I remember that.
In the California Powerball lottery.
I remember that. What was the second most?
I do not know that because seconds don't win. I bet you, trivia I'm not even spaces.
I feel like my trivia knowledge is based on pre-2022. I bet you if I look it up, oh God, here we go. Future James, the second largest Powerball winning. I feel like it's in the Northeast or at least on this side of the country.
I believe it. I'll give you.
But I remember that. That was significant. And they didn't get that much. I remember that was like the whole thing because it gets taxed pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and there's six different taxes that go on to winnings, including capital gains. They just move your tax bracket altogether. And then a lot of states also have a sin tax, which like not syntax, that means sentence structure. But a sin tax, like as in gambling or something else that, like, usually things that have to do with debauchery that get an additional tax because they're just like, ooh, you're naughty. We're going to tax you a little bit.
And this isn't bad, but you also tend to have a choice of a full payout or a weekly, biweekly, or monthly, depending mm-hmm. on which state, what lottery. So you could take the full payout, but they're not going to pay you out $2 plus billion.
So that's the thing. It's called an annuity payout, and there's money available, but it's only dosed out to you so that way you don't get hit with all of these taxes mm-hmm. all at once, and then you kind of end up in this like financial turbulence mm-hmm. as a result of the win.
So I think if I'm correct, the like generally you'll end up with like if you won $1 million, then you're getting a few grand a week. That allows you to pay the taxes on it. Capital gains is a bitch, to be real. Mm-hmm. Capital gains, and I get why, that's why people don't want to fuck with it. They want to do whatever they can. They want to take their money, move it into accounts, into assets, because capital gains.
Well, so, okay.
Real
quick tip, y'all. If you do have millions and billions of dollars, here's what you do. You invest it, okay, in the stock market, usually ETFs, or other sort of monetary funds.
Stable, consistent.
Stable, consistent. You have it in those funds. And what you do then is those funds will gradually raise over time so that you make your money make money. Then you take out bank loans using those as collateral. However, you don't actually have to pay your own money. You're then just playing with the bank's money and you don't have to pay any capital gains because it's not your money.
You know what's interesting? Because you would think that I'd actually be against that. I think that is if you're getting gains on your money from putting them in ETFs or just putting them in like high yield CDs, I don't think there's anything inherently unethical about that, only because that's like kind of just the way that the system works.
That's just game in the system.
Where are you going to put your $5 million?
You only have to play, or you only have to pay capital gains tax if you buy a bunch of stocks, they do really well, and then you sell a bunch of stocks. if you never sell your stocks and then you take out bank loans and you have the ability to then buy things that will give you passive income, essentially, so that you can pay back your loans at whatever set interest rates, then you never actually have to pay capital gains tax because you don't have any actual gains. You're just taking out loans.
This is why I actually like this a lot, because people would be like, oh, that's not your... I think that you're supposed to take advantage of certain things, but they shouldn't hurt people, right? You shouldn't put all your money into the stock market, even if you have the money to have... No. The best way to do it is to put your money into the high... People are like, oh, you're going to put $50 million in a high-yield investment in a savings account?
Oh, but then you're going to have to pay tax on the dividends.
The reality is that I wouldn't mind paying tax on the dividends if the tax is like 40%, but the dividends per month is like 50K or something.
But then you're only getting 25K from you spending your hard-earned money. It's your money that's sitting there doing nothing.
It's free money.
It's free money. But you get less free money than the other free money that you were supposed to. You're entitled to that free money, James.
I think that you absolutely should take advantage. And this is for anybody who's winning the lottery who has a lot of money. You don't want to exploit people, but you do want to exploit systems, right? Yeah. So
exploit a system.
I don't think that you should actually play the capital gains thing too much, because the reason you pay your taxes is important. But because our taxes are misspent, wink, wink, future, you know, it's going to be a callback. Because taxes get misspent, you don't want to just pour everything. You're going to be like, just spend everything. No. You want to put it all into savings, get as high yield as you can, pay your taxes, give some to your kids, but also because things can be turbulent, you never know what happens, you want to take some of that and put them into relatively stable investments, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put some of that into relatively stable investments, then you are kind of gaming the system a little bit,
Well, like maybe you buy real estate, okay? And then you buy like an apartment building, all right?
I mean,
and
if you
then
build,
you
if
rent
you buy,
out your
okay,
apartment
if you buy
building.
One apartment building, because I'm not a landlord, but if you had the money and you bought one apartment building, and you made sure that apartment building had everything taken care of, you charge people below the market rate so that they're... That
below market rate? So that, what are you, some sort of chump?
So that you're still making money, but they're actually saving money. That's the most ethical way to do that kind of thing.
James, in this hypothetical, you are a landlord. And hypothetical ethical is just redundant. Okay, it's just like, doesn't it, say it out loud and tell me how dumb it sounds to word hypothetical ethical. It sounds clunky, it sounds gross.
Okay, you're right, I'm just gonna buy a bunch of apartment buildings, I'm gonna charge above market rate, and guess what, they're gonna move in there because they have to, they have no choices.
And now you're probably wondering, what if that apartment's rent stabilized? You know what? Fuck them. Okay, you're gonna
just raise the rent anyway. They're not gonna know.
They're not gonna know. Or, you know, the people who are there, who are already living there, just harass them until they leave and then change the apartment. You know, you can just knock down a wall, and now the unit that was rent stabilized, that's not the same as it was before.
I mean, can we be real? They want to buy me out. Okay, if they did that, they would put a wall here.
Yeah.
Okay, they would make that smaller. They would cut this in half.
And they'd say this is a 3-bedroom.
And there'd be 4 bedrooms, because you could probably cut that in half. So 1, 2, 3.
With a kitchenette.
No, because this would be in half.
This would be in half?
You get pretty small rooms.
I don't know. You got tall ceilings. You could probably loft this.
I bet you.
You could make.
Oh, my God. You think they would make they'd make a second apartment?
Do we get bunk beds? Do we get bunk beds and I just kind of sleep up there in the rafters? I mean,
I'm gonna be honest. Okay, we need to get back to this, but gotta just say, the only reason I don't is they don't make king size ones.
They only make king size.
They don't make king size like bunk beds. It's really expensive. That's the thing is, you really don't have them, or I would.
You can be the bottom bunk.
Could you imagine?
I'm more of a top anyway.
Oh my God. So anyway, do you know why it's like this? Because guess what has happened? You see this there?
Oh, I guess it's time for another Buzzball lottery. Yoink. Oh!
Well, that one is gone. Oh, this is racist.
Which one did you get?
What is that number? It's all rubbed out.
Oh.
What is this number?
That number was...
Was it 8008? Why is it like...
it was 80,000 and 85. 80,085.
Yeah, this it was boobs.
Watermelon
Smash, which is a premium vodka with watermelon juice and other natural flavors. Okay. Okay, you want to talk about lottery?
I made myself giggle with that one.
You want to talk about lottery, right? This is not a joke, okay? This is the game you play, okay? Is that you're having fun at the beginning.
Yeah, it's all fun and games.
It really is all fun and games. You're like, oh, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying 15% little thingies. And what happens? You keep playing, and you play around too much. What are the good things? Are we done with the good things?
The last good thing.
Oh, wait, there's two. I bet you there's two.
There's probably two. But the last good thing.
After this one, I'm going to give you one. I bet you. Come on.
They're great for kids. You know, you buy a couple scratchers. And you give them to the kids as little gifts, and you're like, have fun, scratch them off. Maybe you'll win something.
Honestly, one of the best aspects of the lottery is the one that, I'm not going to say coerces, but it's the one that convinces people that they should play the lottery, which is that playing the lottery and winning the lottery is most definitely a singular instance of being pulled out of poverty. Being pulled into security within a moment.
Within a moment. You can drastically change your socioeconomic class with the largest potential for return on investment. You pay $2 for a ticket. Could change your life.
Yeah, because the ones that are $2 and $1, it's usually like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 at the top, right? And that's not a lot, but it is a lot when you're struggling and you have children. And so that's the reason why I have some negative opinions about the lottery, as you're about to find out. But I still occasionally, every few years, buy a few scratchers, because if you don't play,
you don't win.
They get you with the advertising, and it's true. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I have food, I have place to live. What if I don't? The idea that I can go, that I can participate, and I can be elevated out of where I am into a place of more security, that just seems just so unbelievable that on the times that I've struggled the most are the times where I've considered playing the lottery the most.
In your times of harshest strife, you thought that maybe through some sort of divine providence, you'd be delivered upon the lottery.
I don't believe in luck, but when you don't have much and you don't have anything and things are hard, all you want to be is lucky. Now that I finished mine... Oh, wait.
I finished.
Oh, yeah, you finished yours, right? Because they're not moving around.
Yeah, you gotta...
Close your eyes this time, you fucking cheater. This guy's a fucking cheater. You know what I'm gonna do? Look, you can see on camera.
That's what I'm watching.
No, stop. Close your whole eyes.
Okay.
My eye holes are closed.
Okay.
What I'm gonna do is, I'm looking at the camera. Nobody can see. I'm literally looking. You can watch back, not that he ever does. And I picked one at random. There you go. I didn't look at it. What is it? I didn't look.
It's over 9,000.
Oh my god.
It's 9,001.
Oh my. What is the Buzzball? What is the flavor? It looks the same.
It's a strawberry Rita. Ain't that fun? Strawberry Rita.
Now,
wasting away.
We're halfway through.
Strawberry Rita.
We're about to get into some serious stuff, so you got a buzz ball? Crack him if you got him.
We're busting buzz balls over here.
Taste that guy. After you.
Mm. So good.
In my opinion, these have the same exact problem.
These taste exactly the same.
They taste the same. That always happens when it comes to the artificial food flavoring.
Which one's that one?
Watermelon. That's strawberry.
That's strawberry.
That's the problem. When you get into the artificial flavors like watermelon, strawberry, especially, I feel like, but they're so sweet.
Yeah.
That we're not going to be able to tell the difference unless we put it over ice.
Ooh.
Because it's just sweet. We're getting a lot of sweet.
Yeah, it's just kind of sweet, which I mean, I don't dislike. Again, if I were at a picnic and I was playing catch with someone and I threw the ball to them and then they were like, switcheroo, and they threw a buzz ball back to me and I caught it in my baseball mitt and I'd be like, so sweet.
It's interesting.
So good.
We've had a few. I think these, or maybe it's the strawberry one, are ones I've had before that have informed my opinion about buzz balls, which is that they're just saccharine and have no depth. But we've had the apple one.
Depth.
We had the chili mango.
We tried the peach one.
And the peach one. And I think that those were absolutely amazing.
Those were fantastic.
And let's be charitable.
I gotta say, the chalk teas.
Yeah. And let's be charitable. Those are, you got a little chalk teas. Right,
I got a
you
little. Get,
you get a little. Bit, you get a little chili mango. What was the other one again? The other one was like
It was a forbidden apple,
right? And then the other one was like
peach.
Peach, beautiful, interesting. These are margaritas.
Yeah, and these are just like,
these are margaritas with artificial flavoring, and that's kind of you're gonna get a rating every time. I like this. But if I was buying a buzz ball, I'm looking for the chili mango. I'm looking for the peach. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the apple. I don't think that I'm looking for the watermelon smash.
So these aren't buzz strikes. They're more of a buzz ball. They're not in the strike zone.
Hey, oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, because they're still good.
Yeah.
Absolutely, if you like it, if you get it. And also, as I drink it, I think that the watermelon flavor is starting to come through. But I think that it's just sweet.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
Are you ready? What's next?
So next I kind of want to get into, I brought a book. See, I read sometimes. And this book is called The Drunkard's Walk, How Randomness Rules Our Lives. And it talks about, who's it by? It's like Leonard.
Oh, it's by Leonard. I don't want to disrespect them. So what's going to happen is, this is the book, and I'm going to put it on the screen. If you can get it, you got it for about $16.
Yeah. Check it out.
It's
a dope book. I'm about halfway through it. I'm a slow reader. That's my shtick.
National bestseller, The Drunkard's Walk, How Randomness Rules Our Lives.
And it has a really good chapter on how the lottery is both a rigged system and a system that can be rigged. In the sense that, like, given the probability and the types of number, the scale of numbers used, because I think I have here, I forgot to put it in the notes.
It's a lot of numbers.
Powerball will be like, you have five columns, that's 1 through 26, and then one at the end that's 1 through 55. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to do all of that, and there's however many combinations, essentially it comes down to, for Powerball,
it's a lot.
The odds of winning are 1 in 292,201,338.
And there's 500 million people in America. So by that logic, if there's 265 million Americans who could win the Powerball, woo, baby. Oh, I was doing Scott Steiner. I went Ric Flair. If there's 265 million Americans, if it's 1 in 265 million, and I'm 1 in 265 million, that means out of 500 million, that I'm 1 in a million, baby, which means I got a 1 in 4 chance of winning. There you go.
Solid. So there was a group of students, I think out of Massachusetts, that played the odds, basically, and they got, like, their on-campus club and through networking got about 1,000 people to buy a large sum of tickets to basically try to cover their spread. And the idea was, like, if they win $100 million amongst the lot of them, they each get to come away with like at least $20,000.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
That was the shtick. However, when they did this and when the lottery people found out about this, they put a whole kibosh on that whole system. They're like, wait. You can't actually use statistics and mathematics to try to win the lottery. That's not fair.
I mean, that's the part of the lottery that makes it fair, which is annoying. Is we have a big thing with game shows and games and lottery in this country is that they're heavily regulated.
Mm-hmm.
They're so heavily regulated that you and your coworkers can get tickets, but I swear, you don't know. I tell you, I've heard of it before.
It's almost like they don't want you to organize.
You get enough people.
Unionize.
You get enough people in there, they will actually go out of their way to impede you and make sure you don't win. Which I think it makes sense because it's supposed to be random. And if you're playing by yourself or with a few friends,
it's still random.
It's still random. But if you game the system, it's simple math. They're gonna have to extend the game 5 or 6 characters in order to make it more random, and that's kind of less fair for everybody. Because I remember that. I remember when that happened. And it's like, oh, it makes sense. Because you could easily simply have a group of people just win every time.
Isn't it funny how when just a bunch of students who are good at statistics and mathematics do it with, like, a large group of people, it's bad. But, like, when hedge fund corporations do it, it's, like, just economics.
Well, it's
a problem when they do it.
Hedge fund. Oh, fuck them. The problem is, though, when you think about hedge funds, there's a difference. And this is, I think I'm throwing this to you, which is, the difference is that when you play the lottery, you're believing that you're entering into this game of your own free will.
Mm-hmm.
People in hedge funds know what's up. They understand the game. The regular person buying a Powerball ticket doesn't get the game.
They know the rules, and so do I.
The game is that the government wants your money.
And you might win some back.
And you might win something, and you're coerced. You're coerced because you don't... If you play the lottery, you don't have a choice to play the lottery normally. That's the truth. You think you do, but when you're on food stamps, which I've been and probably about to be soon, when you're on food stamps and you can't pay your rent and stuff is hard, and somebody says, give me $1... and you may win $1 million, that is not just a proposition that tingles like the part of your brain that likes to play games. It tingles the part of your brain that's about survival, right?
Mm-hmm.
Money is not real, really. It has power, but the government is the one who controls and regulates that power. So every dollar that touches your hand is regulated and controlled by the government. So the government makes a game so that you can give them back the money.
And they just kind of dangle. It's a far dangle of, like, you might win a life-changing amount of money.
They coerce you into thinking that you're going to change your life. Also, now this is the one. They coerce you in thinking that the money is going to taxes that are being applied and being like in a way that's effective. And as anybody who's worked with the government knows,
taxes ain't going to effective shit.
It sucks because there's a lot of places that taxes do go, But there's like two things. One, people don't vote along the ballot. People don't vote along the ballot. People don't vote for resolutions. People are not paying attention to the elections that matter.
Hypothetical. If you were, like, when you buy a lottery ticket, if you buy a lottery ticket and you, like, the transaction was you give a dollar and a ballot towards, like, you vote what you want the lottery to go towards.
No, done. Because the problem with taxes in our country is, like, there's, like, a bunch, but it's tax season. One is that the government and our systems know how much tax you owe. Mm.
How?
Why do you have to file taxes?
What? Why do I have to file
taxes? No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Why do you have to file taxes?
Why can't they just send
when
me
the government knows, why do they have to send you? They could just... there's two things. They could either adjust your taxes yearly, if you're working. They could just adjust it
mm-hmm.
and have a variable tax rate that affects you, which would suck sometimes, but that's better than just getting and owing $4,000 and $2,000 and getting overdrawn $400 randomly. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing. Okay, that shit is, it's all fucked up.
So now we're getting into the portion of the episode.
Now we're getting into the reality.
All of the things that are wrong with the lottery.
Do you play lottery?
I have only ever played the lottery two times.
Why?
One time it was because it was my 18th birthday. And I said, you know what? I can buy tobacco and lottery tickets now. And so I got a pack of Swisher Sweets. They were, they were Tropical Fusion, I think. And then I got some lottery tickets because I could. And then another time before that, I convinced my mom to buy a lottery ticket because I saw the number 45 in the clouds in the sky, and I was okay, like, well, this is just divine intervention. There are signals coming to us from the heavens. And she was like, you know what? Fine. Okay, we'll try it. And she goes, what other numbers did you want to try? And I said, 21. 21 is my lucky number. I don't know why. I think it was because, you know, in elementary school.
21?
21. Before 21 Savage, 21 was always a number I gravitated to. One, because it's both three and it's the multiple of 3 and 7, both lucky numbers. and two, whenever I was in elementary school, a disproportionate amount of times, you know, when they'd give you like your name on the roll call sheet,
yeah.
I would be number 21, like. I don't know. This happened like for 6 years, and like 4 out of those 6 years, I was number 21. And so,
oh my God, your initials are CP, and your local number is 21. You just need to make sure people know. It's like, hey, listen, adults only, please. You know what's interesting? I got you a question, and I mean this.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel the need to play lottery? So let me before you answer, let me give you context, right? Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example, right? When my ex lived in Co-op City, if you're from New York, you know it's in the Bronx. It's effectively the projects, but it's a co-op. It can be pretty rough over there sometimes. And I remember I used to always go to her house, and I didn't have a lot of money to take the bus and the train. So I would hop the train. But because of the bus route, I had to walk on the highway to get to her house. And there was a grocery store right off the train at Pelham on the 6 train. And I didn't have a lot of money. And I only had $5. And I was like, you know what? When I leave her house, when I was sleeping on her, it was effectively like a chest with some pillows on top. I would spend 2 of my effective $5 to play the lottery, to play my lucky sevens, because I would do it. And the first time I did it, I think I won like $15. So then I did it a few times, and then I kept coming out kind of equal, you know what I mean? I kind of felt like I just needed to do it.
You can only play, or you can only win if you play.
Because I needed the money.
Because you needed the money. And you thought, hey, some payout is better than no payout. And that brings me to the fact that a lot
I'm rigging the game. You see this?
A lot of the fundraising that comes from the lottery.
There's no number on it.
Oh, wait. No, that one was...
it's the special martini. I grabbed it on purpose. I grabbed it. I cheated.
I don't know which one that was. Wait.
Oh, it was my number then. It was 7,000.
Wait, no, no, no. That one's actually, you can vaguely see it. 21. 21.
Is this a mistake that I cheated and grabbed this? Okay, let's see. Please continue.
It's all rigged.
He's like, I can't believe. I came up with this good idea. He's the one who said, give James a bunch of 15% alcohol in a little ball form.
Everything's made up and the points don't matter. The biggest problem with the lottery, bar none, is that it's a fundraising effort that relies primarily on lower income communities to buy in, and it's a disproportionate financial burden on those communities. And when those funds are reallocated, they usually don't go back to the communities with which they are siphoned from. Take this from, again, in Massachusetts, where the lower income places in Massachusetts will have plenty of areas where you can buy lottery tickets. But there are some towns and principalities that don't even have vendors that allow you to, or that it's not even available in some towns in the more affluent neighborhoods. Meaning, there's those affluent neighborhoods still got people in city council and stuff determining how they want to allocate funds, and it's going to be allocated towards, you know, their I guess middle of the road or middle class stuff, but it's being siphoned out of communities that are usually the ones more heavily paying into it. And like you said, it's not a mandatory tax the way like income tax is.
It's coercion.
It's coercion because you're led to believe that the only way you can get out of your current socioeconomic status is by winning, and you can only win by playing. And so it's effectively the poor people tax.
And it sucks because I didn't do enough research in this. I was busy today, but what I know about taxes in relation to schools makes me concerned about the way that the tax money from lottery is spent. Because the tax money from lottery, well, the tax money period, the way it's usually allocated to schools is how. It's usually done by a region, right? You know, they break it up into a section, and then they'll take taxes from a particular area, they'll apply them to a school.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they do that,
or a district,
and then when that happens, what's next? The money doesn't go to where it needs to go. So what I'm concerned about is that people who were poor, who were spending money on lottery tickets, like me, that the money is not being applied to where it needs to go. I have a theory. I think that the way that lottery is structured from my research and my understanding is that just like the cigarette tax, there's a lot of really cool people who really try really hard and they want the money to come from the lottery or cigarette tax to go to where it needs to go. The problem is that it's not enough. So what the government has effectively done is created a public charity, right? We have a charity culture and where the government doesn't take care of you, even though they're the ones who make the money, they're the ones who make the rules, so you have to take care of each other, but a system has been created where we don't do that. So corporations, companies, NGOs, non-governmental organizations are created in which we can give them our money that we really don't have.
Yeah.
So that they can give the money to people who need it, whilst also utilizing the money to make sure that they can stay open to do the thing. So when I pay taxes, the money is not going where I need it to go. And so I worry that when I do the lottery, And when I play the lottery, the taxes from the lottery are not going to the places that I think, or maybe, and this is how I'm perceiving it, right? Because I don't know about anybody else, and I know I've had a few buzz balls, but the thing that I'm educated about is this.
Also,
and
the espresso martini one, phenomenal.
I'm gonna be honest, it's great.
That is fantastic.
It's great. It's great.
Oh my damn. That is, whoa.
It's great. I'm a person, this is the kind of thing I am educated in, right? I'm not educated in much. This is the kind of thing I'm educated in. Why? Because I had no money. So I spent a lot of time reading to figure out why I have no money, to figure out why I'm affected the way I am. And then it's like, oh, when I was in school, I had books from the 70s. What the fuck? I had books from the 60s and the 70s. People didn't have that. So you're going to tell me that despite back anybody...
then, they still thought dinosaurs were in stop-motion animation.
Are you, whoever's out there, going to tell me that despite what the government says, because I actually do know what the government says about lottery taxes, and if you read up on it, it sounds really good. But I, as a person who lives in a place where taxes are applied and not well and not much, are you going to tell me that those taxes are being applied? Are you going to tell me when I go to 161 and on in Manhattan, in the Bronx, and I go there and it's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and I see a lot of displaced people and a lot of people who are struggling with alcoholism inside of a liquor store, and I see them coming from all the way down on Finley near 161, and I see them coming there to buy their lottery tickets, but I know where they come from. I see that they're displaced. I know how much the food costs there. I know that the people are living on the streets. I know their apartments are not good. And so I know what the government tells me about the lottery tax, but is it being applied correctly?
Well, and with that said, I wanna throw it to you of just how much do you think of what's raised by the lottery, what actually goes back in to this funding? Because, like, we saw, you know, California has 2 point something billion to give on their Powerball. And if they got just $2 billion to give to their winners, how much is their lottery actually making in order to make it worth all of the struggle and strife?
That didn't occur to me. Because like I said before, you need, because the way systems work, right? The way that charity culture works,
mm-hmm,
is that you don't just make money. And you have overhead. Exactly. So you get the money. Of course you give a portion to where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
But a significant chunk of it goes to you. How much of that is that?
Well, you would think the majority of what the money raised by the lottery would go back into those social services. But according to an NPR article that I looked up 20 minutes before we did this podcast, research shows approximately only 60% of the – 60% of the money raised by lotteries goes towards winnings. That means only 40% is going back
into winnings. And the winnings are taxed.
And the winnings are taxed.
They're taxed at roughly a rate of 40%. That's like that's including capital gain. That's including the different
the six different taxes.
It could be up to 60% from what I understand.
Yes.
Depending on if you take the weekly payout. I know what it's called, but I can't. Too many buzzballs.
Yeah.
The annual, whatever.
The annuity.
Yeah, the annuity. Payoffs. Where you pay, where you're effectively, even if you win $10,000, you have two choices. You can pay $10,000 up front, or you can get $4,000, and the other 60% goes to the government, right? So how many people are seeing $2.4 billion in front of them? The government goes, well, you know what? You guys have $700 million, right? Yeah.
Well, the government says that, and then the lottery people alone are like, okay, well, the funding that was raised for the lottery, because, again, the funds raised by state and federal lotteries then get back invested into the state. They get to say, okay, this is going towards school funding. That's only 40%. A cut of that also goes into advertising for the lottery.
Advertising, maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that means that less than 40% absolutely has to go to local districts.
And then the rest of whatever's taxed by capital gains, by income tax, by sin tax, all of that stuff, that is just however the government wants to spend it. And it just gets like...
pff, it's a grift.
It's a grift. And then you have the problem of like, okay, if this is a good thing for schools and stuff, for education to fundraise, why, or then it becomes their sole means of fundraising. Why is that the only means of funds that they have is based on the lottery? It's not like they'll get, this isn't additional to like a comfortable amount of state allocated resources. This is like the state will then undercut their own budget to give for school resources, for education resources. Oh,
because they understand and they know.
Because they think, oh, well, the difference will be made up by the lottery. Say you have a particular, say you're in an economic recession and people who don't participate in the lottery the way not a full depression, because a depression you would get more people kind of doing that influx of
they're
lottery.
Not spending the money because they're a little concerned, they're worried, they turn on ABC News or Fox, or they have cable and turn to MSNBC, and somebody's talking about like things are hard, so they spend a little bit less on lottery, but they're still spending money on lottery, which means that less money will get allocated to schools overall. And that also makes me really concerned.
So education becomes dependent on funds raised by lottery.
Is there, now, I don't really know this, but is there a difference in how schools, because I do know, because we did talk about this, and I'm happy to find out that I'm not wrong when I said Nevada. I did say Nevada is one of the states, right? Because I felt like I knew that Nevada doesn't have a lottery, or if they have a lottery, it's either very limited or whatever. So I know that there are a few states that don't have lottery or don't have that kind of tax incentive. Are the schools better? Or do those states find different ways? I don't know.
Well, so you look at, there are five states that don't have a Powerball, or that distinctly don't allow for lottery in their states. And one of them is Nevada. Another one's Alabama. And then you also have Utah and Alaska and Hawaii. And there's
Hawaii. Hold on. I think I know. I'm a guess.
Yeah.
Hawaii, there's a reason. As a colony of the United States, was always state. That's complicated. I get that. You said Utah. I don't know. What was the other ones?
Alabama and Nevada and
Alabama.
Alaska.
I only thought my ex was going to move there. There's an issue with education system there. I do know education there can be pretty rough. And Alabama's also, there's parts of it that are pretty black and poor, and parts that are pretty white and very poor. It's very interesting because I think Alabama has an issue with education. And I just know that Nevada has, because I just know we spoke about this. I knew it, but I didn't remember why. And it's like, obviously there's a casino culture in Nevada and something's going on there, why they don't really have.
So you're on to something. But you're very much on to it where Alaska and Hawaii don't have it.
Oh, Alaska also, because they get people. If you give somebody $1,000 at the end of the year, you don't got to let them have a lottery.
Yeah, like, come on. You're already giving away money in Alaska. But the thing with Alaska and Hawaii is they never introduced a lottery, and it was never really a pressure to put it on because they don't have any direct other state neighbors who are doing it. And so the thing with there is all of their local economies are still very insular, whereas like other states in the continental United States, if they have if California has a lottery and Oregon doesn't, people from Oregon are going to go to California, spend their money in California.
Oh, because they're so close.
Because they're so close.
Is Nevada, I've never been to Nevada. Is driving from Nevada?
Well, so that's the fun part, where Nevada is its own thing, because Nevada is such a proponent of gambling. They're like, we don't need state sanctioned gamble, or like, we have enough gambling on like actual real stakes gambling that we don't want to add this additional thing. Casinos have such a monopoly over the economic comings and goings of what's going on in Nevada that they said, we don't want people spending their extra money on state lottery gambling. We're just going to play Keno.
But hold on a second. Hold on a second, though. Wait a minute. Do the taxes from the casinos get applied to the school? Is it the same?
Well, casinos have to pay taxes, but
also, is the tax as much? Is it as significant? Because I do know the casinos are very significant and very large in Nevada, which would mean that if they're getting taxed, I could see somebody arguing, if they were a lawyer or somebody, being like, well, we don't need a lottery because we have a huge economy. People come here to gamble, which means that you have people coming in to go to shows and buy food. Is there income tax in Nevada?
There is income tax. There is no state sales tax.
And there's no sales tax?
There's no state sales tax.
Is there a sales tax in Vegas? Not Vegas County. In
Clark County.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's an actual joke. People were like, I don't like sales tax. That's dumb. Considering the amount of people who come into...
Because money exchanges hands so easily and so readily. If you were to have a state sales tax in Nevada...
Make it low. Make it 1%.
Goose egg. None.
Zero?
You want people to come in. You want people to come in from every state around... Even you want people from New York to fly to Nevada because they're like, hey, I'm going to go see a show. I'm going to go spend my money. I don't want to have to pay state sales tax. I don't know if you're from
New York, but I don't know many people who go all the way to the West Coast.
No, y'all chumps just like go to Atlantic City and think that's good enough.
I mean, history-wise, I know it's not good enough in reality when it comes to history. I think that I'm not even a tax guy. But how you don't have sales tax in a place like that, I'm not going to lie. I think the sales
tax... You
don't
have to.
...should be like 0.8%. It should be something because you do exchange money so frequently that you don't want to charge, like in New York is like 8.75%. You don't want to do that. That is absolutely ridiculous. That would harm it significantly.
Nevada makes their nut without having to do...
But how much of that nut is going to the local economy? Because from what I understand, and I'm not even from Nevada, but from what I understand is that there's a lot of issues in Nevada, and that
Nevada 53rd in the state education system.
What the fuck is happening that they're not fucking taking fucking sales tax?
No, the Nevada education system is significantly underfunded.
That's the one thing that I know.
That's the rub, is like no sales tax,
which means
your
that
public schools are kind of not great.
And
though,
this is the problem, is because I know it sucks, and it's not because you don't make enough money. That's the problem. If you're getting taxed a lot and the money's going to things and your roads are good and school's good and you have a place to live and you have food.
But here's the thing. Their roads are good.
The roads are good.
Their foods are good.
The food is actually kind of cheap over there. But the education's bad. And if you're...
Well...
That's bad.
That's the rub. That's the whole gimmick. And you have the whole, like, the major casino industry that's just like, look, we don't need state gambling. We don't need a government to also authorize gambling. Fuck that. Get them out of here. We got our own shit going on. Now, the other two, I think, are real interesting, though, because Utah kind of makes sense in the sense that it's like it Utah being founded as a like religious thing, like it's the whole with like Brigham Young, and like
they're 3%, they're the 3% state that used to be 3% on all beers.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it's they are very heavy on like taxing sins.
They're Mormons?
Yeah.
It's Mormons, right? Yeah, it's
that's,
Mormons.
Yeah. That's why Brigham Young University is there. So like Utah's whole shtick is like, well, we can't have state sanctioned gambling. Gambling is bad. But that's what brings me back to Alabama, where it's like, Bama, come on, figure it out. Like,
I'm wondering if that's an education issue in Alabama. I don't know what's going on. Even though I'm not a big fan of lottery, if there's an option between having a thing that's sanctioned by the state that can give anything versus nothing, I don't know. Lottery's ass, but it feels weird to
lottery,
not have it.
Lottery is ass, but if money is going to be given anywhere, it should be given towards education and lower income neighborhoods. I guess that moral of the story is lottery's fucking gross, but the places that got it on lock.
Before we wrap up, I just need to know, do you have any ideas for the way that you could improve lottery? Before you say anything, I'm gonna give you a second drink while you finish your buzzball, because mine is done. I think that obviously.
Wait, this one just says tequila Rita.
Yeah, yeah, that's the margarita.
That's not a flavor.
No, that's the margarita. That's the cassay. I think
it's tequila flavor.
I think this is the original one.
I think this is too.
Yeah, because I think that's the first one I ever had a long time ago. First of all, I'm anti a lot of these things, but there's like two things. There's the reality you live in and what you want. And it depends on the amount of pessimist you are, how progressive you are,
how idealist,
how willing you are to push against things. And I'm a huge idealist, okay? But I think that like it's very strange to encourage, and it's like weird because the reason that Utah does it is weird. The reason that is weird and not good.
I love just the drastic disparity.
It's like different.
Nevada's like,
we have gambling. We have the best gambling, and we have it here. So we're going to lobby against you. We're going to lobby. We're going to spend money. We're going to spend the lottery money. And we're going to, not lottery, we're going to spend the casino money to make sure
taxes.
That we, no, not for taxes. To lobby so we can control what happens, yeah. So that we can discern what our best outcome is, and then we can decide that, and we can take it to you. You have no choice because we can just give you a little bit more taxes this year. Whereas Utah is the opposite, where it's like sin-based BYU is there, you know, and
it's so Puritan or puritanical.
I think Alabama, I don't know about the situation in Alabama. I don't think people there are stupid. I know a lot of amazing people in Alabama. My ex was going to move there, and I know.
The reason Alabama doesn't have a lottery is because then black people would be allowed to buy lottery tickets. And they're like, can't have any people of color with money.
That's what I was going to say, because my ex was going to move to Alabama because her family was there. And yeah.
Oof.
It's just because she was Hispanic, but. White passing, and her white family lived there.
Roll Tide.
So I'm just going to say that, like, I don't think people in Alabama are bad or anything like that, but I think that it's systemic, and it's like, you know, it's not the people who live there now, but there were some people in control, and it's, like, weird why that is. What was the other state? What was the...
Oh, Alaska and Hawaii.
Alaska's easy, and Hawaii is easy also, because yeah. Alaska... You know where it is. They have different. It's also small. Everything's also really expensive there. Well, people are not spending money on lottery there.
Alaska's not small, but like no, it's but the, small. Yeah, yeah, the communities yeah, are yeah, small,
yeah. And the people who live there, you pay $15 for an apple. It's because obviously
there's already so much money being circulated, and it's really they don't have the external pressure to do it.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild. Wow. I think I might have had.
All right, so that brings us to the end of our lottery. James, did you let's see your ticket. Did you win? What number did you have on your ticket?
My number was 83, 16, 44, 30, 77, 90. I did all that for nothing.
Wow.
First of all, I had three buzz balls.
You had three buzz balls.
And there's six numbers. That's not even the correct amount of numbers for the lottery.
Well, I mean, it was cumulative of both of the buzz balls that we had.
What's your number?
Well, I actually got a scratcher here.
Oh, my fucking... Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. What is this? The focus is locked. The focus is back here.
All right. But
what the...
So if you read my scratcher here,
Wait, there's like three, there's like three penis. Are these cherries? Well, or penises? Wait, two are penises. Two are cherries.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Wait a second. I gotta get that in. I know it's out of focus. Hold on. You know what I'm gonna do?
Yeah, I'm saving this. Yeah,
I'm gonna scan this, and this is gonna be on the screen.
No, but if you look though, I did get a five, and I won $5.
You know what? I tipped the moving guy earlier $15. I've had the $16 in my pocket because who uses cash? I'm broke, but who uses cash?
Who uses cash?
I've had the $16 in my pocket forever. I gave the moving guy the $15 because it was $65 to move. Everybody's charging $150. It's crazy. I'm going to give you this singular dollar. There you go.
Well, so after I won the $5, you had to tax the sin tax. Yeah. And then the capital gains tax. And so I'm going home with a cool $1 bill.
What I'm going to do, I need you to understand. This is not a waste. Chandler, this dollar right here.
Yeah.
You see this dollar?
I see that. No, what?
That's for you.
That's... Wow.
This is for the state. Let's go, baby.
Let's go, baby.
I can't even. So Chandler,
I'm pretty sure that's like a federal crime to like deface.
Okay, like, for anybody before we wrap up,
you can tape it back together. For anybody who wraps up,
a bill needs to only be accepted if there's 2/3 of the bill. A lot of places won't accept this, but it's okay because I'm gonna tape it together and I'm gonna use it because I'm poor and I can't afford to tear a dollar. So, Chandler, where can they find you?
You can find me at Chandler Does Jokes on most of all platforms. And that's all you need to know.
You can find me anywhere at Living Dad Joke. Living_dad_joke because some other a-hole has it. Remember, The Joker's Walk, How Randomness Rules Our Lives by Leonard Moldenau. Drinking is not required.
But it is recommended.
I wish I had enough money to tear this fucking money up. I would just do it. I really would, though.
Just do the thing where we light a joint off of a light.
Heavy. You know what?